whenever we approach the idea of things being decided in advance, and the idea that Hashem is guiding everything, we have to be careful to maintain a certain balance. Practically, a person can wake up in the morning and say, why should I get out of bed? Hashem decided on Rosh Hashanah what will be this year. Whatever I'm supposed to make, I'll make. David HaMelech sees that his father-in-law is about to kill him. So he runs. And we see Yaakov ran. Chazal tell us throughout our generations we see people who are on the run. Why did they run? So it's dangerous, you run. There's a story here. When war broke out, they were shooting into Jerusalem before we reunited the city. So I don't know if I should quote the names. There was one great rabbi living in Jerusalem, and he was going to move to Chutz Arts. So another great rabbi came to him, and he said, don't leave for Chutz Arts. I have a tradition from my great-great-grandfather that the second the Jews make it back to this point, there's no turning back. We're on our way to the Gula. And he said to him, I hear you, but I have a tradition from my great-great-grandfather that when they're shooting, you run. And they're shooting. So we have to know, that...
No,
thank you. I didn't add myself to the list.
So
thank
cold.
You.
It's maybe it's snow.
Whoever wrote their names on the list?
Yeah, I did.
So the first thing I just want to point out is that the. The approach, everything was defined, has to be a little bit controlled. Rabbi Yort once told me, he said, the reason David HaMelech ran was because sometimes the Gzeira in Shemayim is, will he run well? Then he'll live. If he doesn't do good ishtadlus, he'll die. And we never know, is it a Gzeira in Shemayim, I'll live, I'll die, or it's up to me. Sometimes in Shemayim they say, your choice. If it's worthwhile for you to live, you'll live. So we don't know what they've decreed in heaven. By the same token, I would say about wealth. Sometimes we have a choice. Am I going to try or am I not going to try? Am I going to go for a job or not? Am I going to be lazy about my studies or not? I'm going through a college course. Am I going to do it well or not? So we always have choices. And life is about choices. And these philosophies... or hashkafos, however you want to call them, but they can very often lend themselves to an attitude that serves to laziness, called lack of ishtadlus, whereas on the one hand, a person is supposed to do a lot of ishtadlus, and on the other hand, the person is supposed to know that it's not my ishtadlus that's going to define my success. Hashem is running the show. And that's a very difficult balance. Especially because a person likes to feel, I did the ishtadlus and that's why I succeeded. And if I won't feel that, then...
Going through the motions is to create something that's not really related to what I'm doing.
Right. So I think that to a great extent, so long as a person says, well, Hashem gave me the ability and Hashem... I thank Hashem, and Hashem gave me be it the talents, be it the connections, the right place, the right time, whatever it is, I recognize how much Hashem's hand is it and how little is mine. So then a person can all say, yeah, but that little is mine, and that's the little that I could have done, and I did do it. And it's very important to feel satisfaction with our successes and feel upset at our failures so that we learn from them and grow from them. And that's where these approaches... Even though we find them in Chazal, and we find them, and there are the Rambam and others, the Rav Yeshua ben Shoiv, they say that there's a machloket among Chazal how far Hashgacha goes. Meaning you have a Gemara that says that a person doesn't bang his nail, a person when he's banging a nail, he doesn't bang his thumb without it being declared so in heaven. And then you have other Gemaras that seem to indicate different levels of Hashgacha. So some say it depends on your level, and some say no. There were different opinions in Chazal as to what level of Hashgacha, how far Hashem watches us. And there are different opinions among the Rishonim what Hashgacha really is. Now, going to what you're saying, like specifically that Hashem is really a part of everything, so that would have to depend on which shittos of Rishonim we're going to go with. Today, a lot of things have become codified. It's interesting that as much as books have been published, within Judaism, a lot of knowledge has been minimized. Like there are the standard works that people learn. You go to a Litvish yeshiva, you could barely find the Maharal. You go to a Mizrahi yeshiva, so you don't find the, you barely find the Chazanish on Ashkafa, you barely find Rabbeinu Yerucham, all kinds of basic things. So the important thing to know is that there are different understandings in the Rishonim as to what Chazal meant. And I don't know to define what's mainstream. I don't know. I don't know what. I don't know what defines mainstream, because I think you ask the average person. I was in a store tonight, and I saw the way their prices were set up. So I asked the seller. I said, "You know, I'm not sure. Is the store owner Jewish?" So he told me, "Yeah." I said, "Maybe you want to point out to him that he should ask his Rav whether the way he has the prices set up isn't in conflict with the Isser of Ribbis." I, from what I know, the little bit that I know, it's an Isser Drabban of Ribbis what he's doing there. He says if you pay up front, you get this price. If you pay at a later date, you pay. You could pay it at intervals, and the price is like a substantial amount higher. Now, as far as I know, if that's not set up correctly, that falls into the Isser of Ribbis. So the guy tells me, he knows. He points to another seller. So I said, look, fine, just point it out to the seller. So now it becomes a discussion in the store. And this other guy who comes over and says, it's not Ribbis. So I say, okay, why not? So he starts giving me all kinds of reasons. So I explained to him, there's another guy in the store who was upset at him. He said to him, I learned the laws of Ribbis and Riz Ribbis. You didn't know. I said to him, so I started explaining to him why the halacha would constitute that as Ribbis. And then he tells me, I don't think it's Ribbis. To me, it doesn't look like Ribbis, so it isn't Ribbis. And he walks away. In many things, if you'll ask what's accepted, I think the average person is going to answer you that way. The average person in Hashkafa will adopt the things that seem to resonate with him most. Now, what resonates with us is not necessarily what's logical to us. So it's difficult to define, and mainstream changes with generations. We're very affected. Today we live in a very material world, so we have certain attitudes to things. Things are easy, so we have an attitude where chumras are adopted more easily, where machmiran things are. Grandparents were never machmiran, and it's easy. We don't live up to them in years shemayim, but we outscore them in chumras, if that's called outscoring. So in hashkafa also, I think today people adopt a hashkafa that makes their life easier. I think the hashkafas that have become accepted are the hashkafas which absolve us from the obligation of contending with the difficult decisions of life. And if you'll find that today this Hashkafa is more mainstream than it was 50 years ago, I would ascribe it to that. In many things, in Halacha we say that Am Yisrael has Ruach HaKodesh, that Hashem guides Am Yisrael to the right decision. But that's in Halacha, which is guided by the Rabbanim. When it comes to which Hashkafa the masses adopt, so there, I think people are adopting this attitude because it absolves them from responsibility. You'll ask people, how could you drive down this road? I ask someone, how could you live in this place? You're endangering your life and your kid's life. Tell me you've asked a shayla. I don't care whom. You have a rav who can answer a shayla of pikuach nefesh, who ruled for you that you can live there, kol hakavod, en baya. But you're taking your children, you're risking your life and their lives, and you didn't ask a shayla? And people look at me and they say, don't you believe that in Shemayim it's decided whether you're going to live or die, and it makes no difference where you'll be? And I say, no. No. So now they look at me like I'm a heretic, and I'm sorry, but I think every Rishon would write them down as total fools. I don't think they have a basis in Hashkafa of Torah. But for some reason today there are a lot of people who will take this and say that's the Hashkafa. And what you're saying has too many nuances to define. Like, the question is, how much are we saying Hashem decides on Rosh Hashanah? And how much is left to us? And we have to recognize that the Torah is filled with, even in last week's parsha, V'chol asher hu oseh, Hashem matzeach biyado. Hashem says, you do, I'll make it succeed. But you have to do. And this Hashkafa can be taken, and I feel today it is taken to a great extent, very much to put it in Hashem's hands. Again, there might be people, and we might find sources that there are people who are on the Madrega, that's where they're holding. But that
the Hashkafa.
Hashkafa means look. Hashkafa is a religious view is called Hashkafa. Yeah, a view. Yeah. So I don't know if I've answered you at all, but I've answered you as best as I could.
I guess I sort of asked a yes no question. Are there other viewpoints? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Thank you.
We have drinks.